You're listening to the King's Church Ringwood podcast. For more information, please visit www.kingschurchringwood.co.uk.
Now, this morning we're going to carry on into our passage through Acts. And so far we've made some wonderful discoveries. We've had some great encouragements. And this morning isn't going to be any different. So, we're going to pick up our passage in Acts 8. If you would like to open your Bibles. Excuse me. We are reading from chapter 8 and verses 1 to 25. It's a good long passage. So, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me." After they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Yeah, Father God, I just want to thank you for this passage of scripture. I thank you that the Bible is life and food to us, that we can live and enjoy great knowledge from this, and we can grow into spiritual maturity through reading your word. And Lord, I pray you'll be in my words this morning, Lord, as I'm tired and not in my A game. But Lord, I just pray that you'll bring a blessing through my words. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Now, I think this is a wonderful passage. It's been tough to get a message out of it. I think there is so much that could be said. But I've got to start somewhere. So let's throw a bit of context around our passage. In the chapter before this one, we see the martyrdom of Stephen. Stephen was an amazing man of God, and his death gave direct fuel for the spread of the gospel. Now, as soon as Stephen was martyred for his message of good news, the church and its members were persecuted and scattered. And by scattered, I mean they went far and wrong, far and wide. We read that Saul was there at the stoning of Stephen. Now, Saul, as we know, was a very zealous man. He was very zealous for his Jewish faith. And he wasn't going to let anything threaten the Jewish way. So, he threw men and women into jail. Even for just that small bit of belief or faith they had in Jesus. I think that at this point, he may have thought that he had the victory. That the Jewish leaders would have got what they wanted. They thought that by killing Stephen and scattering the believers, that that would be the end of the Jesus movement or the end of the way. But as we read, they couldn't have been any more wrong. See, it took persecution and martyrdom for the church to finally begin the great commission that Jesus had sent the church on. A great theologian called Tertullian pointed out that the blood of Christians is the seed of the church's growth. And that couldn't be any more true in this situation. Now, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, we had Richard Sharp with us, who's an evangelist, and he was giving us good ways of sharing the gospel. He shared with us that we must be witnesses, and that we must share in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And for us, that means local, that means here. That means our town, that means our nation, and then to the ends of the world. See, what really surprises me about our passage is that Philip chose a really daft place to go as a Jew. The Jewish people had long believed that the Samaritans were heretical because they only believed the books of Moses and would not acknowledge the other books of the Old Testament. As we know through history, the two nations had never got on. There was 1,000 years of war between them. I'm not sure if I would have made the same decision as Philip, to be fair. I know that my very own human nature would make me want to settle for the easy way and not go to the harder places to share the gospel. Now, when Richard Sharp was with us to do the evangelism training, I found it tough to share the gospel in my own town. These are people that I know. They have the same sort of life challenges as me. They would have the same understanding regarding our nation and what our nation's belief system is. Yet I still found it a great challenge to open up myself to share the good news of the gospel. This one verse alone has been a great challenge to me. But Philip went in the same power that we go in. We all have this power of the Holy Spirit within us, and we can all share God's love in our community and beyond. And we shouldn't be afraid to do so. Now, the city of Samaria was the religious centre for the Samaritans, and many people there would have been from Greek descent. Which kind of made it handy for Philip, because that was his native language. He was Greek from descent as well, so it made it quite easy. Well, not easy. Made it easier for him. What have you done? Is the battery going? I'll leave that there. Just don't breathe, don't move. Now, the people of Samaria loved to follow the magicians. They performed many signs and wonders. They were very open to the spiritual life. They loved experiencing things of the supernatural. Now, in my studies of the city, I've been completely amazed at how highly the people of Samaria revered all those that were able to perform miraculous signs. They just loved the practice of sorcery. They loved to be amazed. So when Philip came into Samaria under the power of the Holy Spirit, performing miracles and ushering out evil spirits, people really started to pay attention to the words that he had to say. Now, at that time, there was a man called Simon, and I know from study that his surname was Magus, so Simon Magus. He was a man that was highly regarded by the people of Samaria. He had been followed around the city. He had been followed around the surrounding villages. He was a great sorcerer and had the whole of the area, the whole of the city, under his influence. He had amazed all the people of Samaria, even into the religious circles as well. He had not only amazed them by his powers of sorcery, but by his amazing claims. Now, he believed that he was something very special. And actually, all the people around him thought he was special as well. They had called him the great power of God. Now, Simon had claimed that the great deity that they worshipped had come to earth in his person for the redemption of men. That it was by his power and by his sorcery that he would save and heal people. He had managed to completely hoodwink a vast number of people. He revered only himself and wanted all praise and glory for himself. So when Philip arrived in Samaria, he really set the challenge to Simon. Simon was all about himself and all the deeds he could perform in his strength and in his sorcery. So when Philip started sharing the gospel and performing many signs and wonders, this Simon really took notice. Now, the thing that made Philip and Simon so very different is that Philip didn't come in his own strength. He wasn't there for his own glory. He wasn't there for his own fame. He went in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was not there to better himself or to bring profit from his deeds. He just wanted to fulfill the calling that God had put upon his life and the great commission that Jesus had sent him on. This is where the good bit starts. The people of within the city of Samaria took great notice of Philip and the words he had to bring. And they believed and gave their lives to Jesus and were baptized, men and women. Even Simon Magus believed and was baptized. See, now I just love how Luke writes this in the passage. It's so matter of fact. So simple. Imagine if this was our city or our town. Imagine if it were you or I. We would be shouting it from the rooftops. That people were being baptized and saved. I wouldn't be quite so relaxed in my use of language. Now, you may know or you may not know, me and my wife Laura used to go to New Day a lot, which the guys shared about earlier, where the youth go. And normally there's about 6,500 to 7,000 young people there. And it was always the Wednesday night when a man called Adrian Holloway stood up to speak. He would have everyone at the edge of their seats. You'd be able to hear a pin drop in this mass auditorium. But I've got to say, it was always an amazing sight when he called people forward to believe in the gospel. It wouldn't just be a ruckus. It would be an eruption of noise as people sprinted to the front to get to know Jesus. It was one amazing sight. That's how I feel Luke should have put his language. Then it should have been a ruckus, a real eruption of noise, a real celebration of life. You see, that is the power of the gospel. Just imagine what we can achieve when we take courage and are bold for the gospel. The training with Richard Sharp was really great. He gave a really practical way of sharing the gospel, and there were many of us from the church that attended it. And if you see people with a white or black wristband, I haven't got mine today, but Mark has. If you see one of those, ask them about it, because it was great. It was great training. There you go. It's got four little pictures on it. If you see one like that, ask them to share, because it's a wonderful way of sharing the gospel. So we return to our passage and we read the when the apostles heard that the city of Samaria were accepting Christ and the word of God, they sent Peter and John. I don't think it's of any surprise that it was those two individuals. You see, Peter always seems to be present at the great conversion of a new set of people. He was there for the Gentiles, he was there for the Samaritans, and he was there for the Jewish people. He was always there at the beginnings of the move of God. And I don't think it's any coincidence that it was also John that was sent, because a few chapters ago we read that he wanted to call down fire from heaven on a Samaritan city. See, I think that's brilliant, that God always sends the ones that you wouldn't think he would. But his heart had been changed towards them, and now he wanted to see them saved and converted. He wanted life to flourish rather than to bring destruction. So when Peter and John arrived, they realized that although the people of Samaria had pronounced faith and been baptized, they had not been filled with the Holy Spirit. So Peter and John went about laying hands on people for the receiving of the Spirit. I just want you to imagine the scenes. When the Spirit comes and the Spirit moves, wonderful things happen. Just imagine what would have gone on. Yeah, one of my favourite moments from doing youth work is going to New Day again and being stood next to a young gentleman called Stephen. And Stephen had what I can only recall as bottle-top glasses. They were so thick and tremendous. It was great. He couldn't see a thing without them. And there was one meeting where the Spirit was moving and healings were happening. He just prayed, "God, heal my eyes." And I'll never forget the look of astonishment on his face when he put his glasses on, couldn't see, took them off, could see, put them back on, went, "I can't see." And he went, "Nah, forget it, don't need them." And it was just one of those amazing moments where God broke in. And we can expect to see that as believers. Now, it is here in our passage that we read that Simon the sorcerer was in awe of what was going on and wanted to be a great part of it. The unfortunate thing is that he thought he could buy it. He thought that the Holy Spirit was just a commodity that he could use for his own selfish gain. He did not think that the Spirit of himself was a very person of God. He wanted to make himself more glorious. He had seen the power of God and thought it was something extraordinary, but he wanted it for himself. Now, you've got to ask the question of whether Simon's conversion was genuine at all, whether it was at all sincere. As in our passage, we read that Peter rebukes him very publicly. And he says, "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God." Now, just as an offshoot, because you know I love the dictionary, if you look up the word simony, you get it from this passage, and it is to try and profit or make personal gain from God's work. Just an offshoot. See, it was easy to see that Simon's heart was not right. It was not in the right place to receive the gospel. He was so full of his own bitterness and self-worth that he was unable to see who God was. He was unable to see God working in those around him. He only wanted to better himself. Now, I guess you're asking the question, or I was, what can we take from this passage? Now, I've broken it down into 3 points. And they are discernment, preaching the full gospel, and genuine faith and belief. Now, my first point of three is that we need to be discerning. Now, there are a lot of amazing causes out there that need faithful people to invest in. To support a church abroad or to sponsor a child in need is something really good to do, and I recommend it. And I think it's only right and proper that we get behind them as believers. Now, I believe the places that we need to exercise discernment is when we are faced with situations that don't sit quite right. I have seen many organisations out there that have promised great wealth in return for investment. Some religious organisations that have started with the tagline, "Invest in us and God will bless you and bring you prosperity." I've seen people on TV that have said, "Trust in our prayers for you," as if they were some sort of mediator between us and God. That their prayers were in fact more potent than ours. Now I want to put that straight. There is only one great mediator for us, and his name is Jesus Christ. It is he that stands in the gap for us. He makes it possible for us to come to the Father and no one else. There are some people and organisations out there that can be very convincing. In our passage, Simon, the sorcerer, had managed to convince many people that he was the great power of God on earth. That he was the sent one to bring redemption for men. But as we read, he only wanted it for himself. We have got to use the great gift of discernment in our lives to test different causes. There are a lot of things in this world that want our attention. We need to use discernment when we're watching TV. Because there are a lot of people out there that are not interested in God or not interested in anything but their own glory. But we don't have to do it on our own. God has given us the Holy Spirit, and he will help us to discern what is right or wrong. We need to trust God and his leadings, and he will always put us on the right path. We have also been given the good word of God, the Bible. The Bible is our perfect guide on how to do life. And it is truly wonderful how its lessons go beyond the constraints of time and culture and context. We can trust the life lessons that it contains. Thank God for it. See, my second point is that we must preach the full gospel. As a human race, we are always looking for the next thing that will take us straight to happiness. We just love to try and find the shortcuts to the destination of a happy life. As a generation growing up in a social media world, we are constantly bombarded by a torrent of influences. We are told that each item we see advertised is going to revolutionize your life. That every new thing will make the big difference in your life. We read that the next beauty product will make us feel ever youthful. That it will give us the perfect skin or perfect smile. Maybe it's a new toothpaste that promises to give you the whitest teeth. Maybe it's an advert for a big shopping facility online, like Amazon. That promises to have everything you will ever need for life. Maybe it's the lottery, that maybe it's this time your numbers will come up. For some, it may be some healing stones you were given as a child that you still believe have magical properties. It could be that you are part of a health club that promises to be the only club you need to be a part of. Then it will bring you all your social need as well as your health needs. It could be someone like a tarot card reader or a hypnotist, or anybody else that claims to be able to tell you your future or what you have to, or what you will need to have a fulfilled life. Thing is, this world can offer no shortcut to eternal life. There's no shortcut to everlasting joy and security. These things offer so much, but actually deliver so very little. And I think this is where Simon Magus lines up. He was all too happy to hoodwink people out of their money and to show them things that they had never seen before. He had a whole generation of people enthralled in what he was doing. He was preaching to people a fake gospel. He was telling people that he had the answers to life. He didn't. He had nothing. All he had was his own selfishness. All he wanted was their money. See, this is much like our social media networks of today. It promises so much, but delivers very little. It cannot bring you life, cannot bring you satisfaction, and cannot give you everlasting life, however much it tries to tell you it can. This just makes it so much more important that we share the greatest news we've ever heard. What Jesus has done for us is the greatest news to ever hit the media. We need to share with people what God can do. That people too can have a fulfilled life. I'm not saying that Christian life is always easy. There's still a lot of hurt and a lot of illness and disease out there, but we can always have hope because we have a God that is bigger than it. See, the message of Christian faith is so different from the message the world offers. Just like Peter and Philip's message was so different to one that Simon brought. Philip was not in it for his own personal gain. He just wanted the gospel to be known. He wanted Jesus to be known. He wanted him to be glorified. He wanted to let people know the freedom that they can have in life. This brings us into the importance of sharing the full gospel. There are a lot of things out there, or even different religious groups that try to offer something better. I want to say these almost always rely heavily on you doing something, paying something, or come with a set of rules so stringent that actually life is taken away. So we must share the full gospel. We must share that Jesus has done it all for us, that the price has been paid, that Jesus has made a way for us to enjoy eternal life with the Father. Now Jesus said in Mark 16 verses 15 to 18, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison it will not hurt them at all. They will heal, they will place their hands on sick people and they will get healed." Now I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that you pick up snakes. No, it's never a good idea. It's also not a good idea just to drink poison to see if it will work. But as we lay hands on the sick, Jesus says they will be healed. This is the power of the true gospel. That when we believe who we can put our trust in, Jesus Christ, that we will see and do great things in his name. This brings us to point number 3. Genuine faith and belief. We read in our passage that even Simon believed and was baptized. But as I said already, you have got to ask the question of whether he had actually accepted the truth of the gospel. We read in our passage that Simon wanted to buy the Holy Spirit for his own gain. But he had not turned away from wanting to glorify himself. He still wanted the fame and the glory for himself. This then suggests that he wasn't prepared to turn away from the life he'd been living. He had not accepted that he had done wrong, or that his way of life was not glorifying to God. Our trust and belief in Jesus starts with us confessing that we have done wrong, and that we will turn away from the life that we have been living. It all starts here in our hearts. We need to come to God in all humility. We need to accept that God's ways are better than our ways. We need to accept that Jesus is the only way to the Father. We need to believe and trust that God has got our best interest in mind. Because he has. He wants us to have a happy life. He wants us to live a fulfilled life. The God that we worship here is always looking out for us. He has got plans to prosper us and not to bring us harm. He has got a plan and a future for us. I find that so comforting to know. He is so loving that God gave his one and only son for us. And I don't think that is something that we should take for granted. The thing I truly love about the gospel is that no one is left out. There isn't anybody that is beyond the reach of the love of God. And he gives his Holy Spirit to help us with life itself, as a guide, a helper, a counselor, an empowerer. We can be a truly blessed people because we believe in a God that is better. I want to ask the question of, if you haven't believed, is this your time? Is this the moment that you can look back and go, actually, I believe in the gospel. I believe that Jesus has died for me. So I'll ask you all to close your eyes. And if that's you and you feel that you want to get to know this Jesus, then I ask, just raise your hand and I will very happily pray with you. Father God, I thank you that you have done it all on the cross for us, that you died in my place, in our place. And I thank you for the life that you promised to give us and that you have given us. And Lord, we promise to turn away from our bad ways of life, from our wrongdoing and our sin. And we say we will do our best to follow you in all that we do. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will dwell in all of us right now, Lord, that you will encourage us, keep us safe, and guide us in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done. I say that in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Ian. Just as a quick footnote to the story of Stephen, I'm his optician. And I can tell you that, yes, he used to wear about a plus six prescription. That was a thick pair of glasses. Considerably, his prescription has been far reduced since that healing that Ian spoke of. In all my years of practicing, I've never seen a case like Stephen's. And his optometrist, when he tested him, couldn't understand what had happened. So that's our God. Praise him. He's amazing, isn't he? Yeah, thanks, Ian. And that happened at New Day. So it'd be good just to quickly pray for the guys as they return. Let's pray for a safe return for them all, particularly those who are tired and from loading vans and everything. So let's just bow our heads quickly, and then I'll pray a blessing. And then if you're visiting, we hope you'll stay and have coffee, tea, refreshments with us afterwards.
Vision is to make Christ the King known in Ringwood and beyond. For more information or to give feedback, please visit www.kingschurchringwood.co.uk.